Investing in mobile homes can be very profitable, but there are a number of important things to keep in mind. First, avoid major mobile home rehab projects, which can be money traps. Second, if you can't avoid them, you should, of course, include the cost of the rehab project in determining what price you'll pay for the home. Third, you should also investigate the credit of anyone to whom you're going to sell or rent a mobile home. And fourth, take steps to protect yourself when you're completing the sale, as well as when you're handling delinquent payments. As I mentioned a short time ago, it generally does not pay you to fix up or rehab a mobile home before you sell it. I've learned that the return is nearly equal to what you spend, unlike site-built real estate rehab projects, which will often net $4 to $5 in profit for each dollar spent. Therefore, in the interest of time, you should try to sell a mobile home pretty much as it is. Even if you don't consider fixing up a mobile home, you can use the idea of rehabbing the home to get the price you want from a buyer. Let me give you an example. Let's say you want $7,500 for a home that might need, you estimate, $1,000 in repairs. You could say to a prospective buyer, "I'll sell this mobile home to you with all the fix-up work done for $8,500, or you can do it, take it as is, $7,500." Because they don't have cash, many purchasers will elect to take the home as is, convinced that they can get the repair work done for less than $1,000. That's why it's so important to delay talking about your asking price until you find out what down payment and what maximum monthly payment the prospective buyer can make. Before you agree to actually transfer the title to them, they must have enough money for the agreed-upon down payment, the closing costs, the first year's insurance, the first month's lot rental, utility deposits, and sales tax. The prospect should fill out a credit application, giving you permission to check his or her credit. If you don't subscribe to a local credit bureau, you can get the park manager to run the credit check for you. The agreement between you and the purchaser will be contingent upon an acceptable credit check and approval by the park. After you and the park have approved the prospective purchaser, these contingencies will be removed from the sales agreement. Be sure to get identification from the purchaser, including a Social Security number, and make a photocopy of the identification for your files. Few prospective purchasers will have excellent credit. What you're looking for in the credit check is whether or not they have a history of defaulting on installment consumer loans, mortgage defaults, foreclosures, or bankruptcy. You certainly don't want to sell to someone who's a candidate for bankruptcy. When you complete the agreement for title and possession and get a cashier's check for the amount due, the sale is completed. Make sure that the buyer provides proof of insurance paid for the first year. As a practical matter, be sure to keep a duplicate set of keys to the house. They'll be useful should entry become necessary in the future. If you are regularly selling mobile homes on an installment sales contract, you're likely to have some delinquencies. Just be sure to act upon late payments immediately. Enforce the late payment charge, which is usually $25 after the fifth of the month plus $2 a day, and give the buyer no more than 10 additional days to bring the payment current, or you'll file a personal property foreclosure. Since the provisions for gaining repossession will vary from state to state, check with the county sheriff's office or the courthouse to learn how your state laws work. All the examples covered thus far have cited instances where you need $2,500 to $5,000 cash to cover the cost of the mobile home, the closing costs, lot rental for a month or two, and refurbishment. While this is not a lot of money, it might be more than you have available. If you're in this situation, there are ways available that you can develop the capital necessary to get into business. These include credit cards, bank lines of credit, partners, and other investors. Once you become active in the business, the capital required to buy and sell mobile homes should be readily available, and you'll have a nice monthly income stream as well. The same group of people you might approach to invest with you in a single-family home or a small apartment building will also be candidates for your mobile home business as well. If a partner puts up all the money, then receives that money back as payments are made, plus 50% of any money beyond that, the return on the investment for him or her would be extremely high. And because you've invested no money, your return is infinite. Some people with money would rather not get caught up in the what-ifs of dealing with flipping mobile homes, and as you'll see shortly, there are some tax ramifications. Try to locate people who are willing to grant you $5,000 to $6,000 loan at 18% interest, for example, for a period of 12 months. What appears on the surface to be a high rate of interest is dwarfed by the return you can reasonably expect to make on that money, as stated previously. Even if you have $5,000 to $6,000 of your own money and want to get into this business in a big way, perhaps doing four or five transactions a year, you're going to eventually run out of money. Here's how you might recover that money very quickly. Assume you're selling an $8,000 mobile home in which you have $4,000 invested. You receive a $1,000 down payment, and you hold a note on the balance for $7,000 at 12% interest with 36 monthly payments of $232.26. You could sell 20 months' worth of this income stream to an investor for $4,000. If the investor purchases the income stream, he or she will receive $4,645.20 over the next 20 months, which works out to an annual return of 18% on their investment of $4,000. This will leave the final 16 monthly payments for you to keep. So, after receiving the $4,000 from the investor up front, you'll also receive the last 16 payments, totaling $3,716. Finally, let me say a few words about attaining dealer status. Dealer status, as it relates to taxation, must be explored at two levels, state and federal. In my opinion, dealer status at the state level is desirable, while dealer status at the federal level is undesirable but unavoidable. Dealer status at the state level usually results from the frequency of your business activity. For example, if you buy and sell one or two homes a year, you may not be classified as a dealer at the state level. However, it may be to your advantage to obtain licensing as a dealer. It isn't that expensive, a couple hundred bucks a year, depending on your state, and it provides some advantages. For example, if you were ever to buy new mobile homes directly from a manufacturer, you would be able to buy at wholesale prices. If you were to buy a home, whether new or used, you would not have to pay sales tax. You are merely adding that unit to your inventory to sell to customers, the ultimate users, in the ordinary course of your business, and this can save you a considerable amount of money. The IRS recognizes federal dealer status. Here, the code distinguishes between a dealer, that is, one who buys and places the item in inventory, then sells it for a profit, and on the other hand, an investor, one who is in the trade or business of investing long-term for the economic gain to be derived from the investment. Quite obviously, if you have dealer status at the state level, you'll fall into the dealer category. Therefore, all the income you make as a dealer will be subject to FICA taxes, and you won't qualify for the installment method of reporting. Okay, let's recap the material I've covered in this audio chapter. The demand for mobile homes is large, and you can make big returns if you know what you're doing. Three ways to make money with mobile homes include, first, renting out mobile homes, or lots, or both. Second, purchasing and wholesaling mobile homes. And third, buying and then immediately selling the homes to end users. As in all no-down-payment investing, it's important to find flexible sellers. Many of the methods that you use to find sellers for site-built homes can be used to find mobile home sellers as well as to find buyers for mobile homes that you already own. When purchasing a mobile home, you must take care to evaluate the park in which the home will be located and, of course, to carefully inspect the home itself. To determine its value, consult experts and also research the home's value in literature available from BEC and the NADA. When selling a mobile home, you might have to make a special attempt to sell the buyer and on occasion to make minor repairs. You should avoid major mobile home rehabilitation projects because the return on your investment could be very, very small. When selling or renting out a mobile home, you should always thoroughly investigate the buyer's or the renter's credit. When you complete a sale, make sure that the buyer provides proof that insurance has been paid for the first year. Keep a duplicate set of keys as well. This could be used to gain entry should it become necessary in the future. Whether you sell or rent the mobile home, make sure you act quickly in the event any payments are late. You should also consider the consequences at both the state and federal levels before attaining dealer status. Finally, if you are low on capital for investing in your first few homes, you can take any number of steps to provide the capital or recover quickly any capital you might make. Such steps include cash advances from your credit cards, bank lines of credit, and taking on partners or other investors. Because laws relating to the purchase and sale of personal property vary widely from state to state, I've deliberately elected not to include forms for mobile home investing in this course. Your best source of forms appropriate to your own state might be a dealer you know. A mobile home broker in your area may also be of assistance. As a last resort, pay a lawyer to provide you with the forms you'll need. Because these can be used over and over again, your cost is going to be a one-time expenditure.